I want to finish up my thought that the formation of the committees of correspondence could be an important part of rebuilding the left and socialist movements in this country, and also that DOC would be involved in current struggles.
And for those who might be listening and not familiar with what you're talking about, what do you mean by left and socialist structures as opposed to democratic or whatever other choices there are?
Yeah. Well, left and socialist movements might be democratic,
well,
but I'm saying left movements in the sense that they're understood in popular parlance, that left movements that were basically moving to make major changes in the way our society operates, and socialist movements basically movements that were aiming to eventually have a socialist form of society established in this country.
Would be what?
Pardon me?
Which would be what?
Oh, don't ask me to define. No. I can't
All right.
Do that.
All right.
Basically. And that would be a whole big long discussion. And believe me, there is much diversity in what people envisage as their idea of a socialist society. So I wouldn't try to get into that at
all.
This
right.
Point.
You're off the hook.
Okay. And there are a couple of other things here that I wanted to say that I think are important in understanding again the kind of person I am and things that and giving a background to the way that my life has developed, the way I've lived my life, I should say, because it didn't just automatically develop. Age has taught me that we can survive even the most difficult and shattering experiences, and that growth can result as well. And I guess that's an important concept for me. Even at this point in my life, when I'm ill and going through some difficult treatment, and people say to me, how can you have such a positive outlook? And I guess that's part of my positive outlook, that I believe I can survive and that people can survive. Anyhow, to go back to sort of how I got to that consequence of my divorce 28 years ago now, was to liberate me further as a woman, although I'd always considered myself a liberated woman. And I also developed more openness to new things and new ideas. With the passage of years, I think I've arrived at more tolerance, if not always acceptance, of different ideas and ways of doing things as multiple methods maybe to reach the same goal. I also found that it's important to gain international perspective to balance our biases, my biases and insularity, although I think it applies to other people as well as me. And for example, a never-to-be-forgotten experience was the first International Women's Year Conference of non-governmental organizations in Mexico City in 1975, which I attended. And then in 1984, I attended an international meeting of health psychologists in Cuba and visited the country for 10 days afterwards. And I feel, you know, gave me an additional perspective on things as a whole. Okay, stop. Picking up on the chronological account of my activities and organizational ties. Following my resignation from Mount Sinai Clinic in East Los Angeles, in the late 50s, I was active in a parents group of the Kinderschüler, which is basically, and it's still in existence today, secular after school program teaching Yiddish culture and traditions to children, and is basically a cooperative cooperative movement in which the parents are involved with activities with the children, but also the children attend classes. It would be somewhat akin to the classes that are held, you know, that religious instruction, except that this was secular and definitely not in any way religious, but picking up on the desire of parents for their children to have knowledge of Yiddish culture and tradition, and some teaching, a little bit, not very much, of the Yiddish language, because my daughters told me that they really can't speak or understand any Yiddish from what they got there, but they did certainly absorb a lot of other stuff. And in the late 50s, I was also active in the League of Women Voters in Hollywood, where we lived. and I don't know exactly for how many years, for probably 2 or 3 years. And it was an interesting experience where the main thing that I think I got out of that activity was a lot of respect for the League's careful analysis and research that they did on any subject that they decided was important enough to be to spend their time on. So they wouldn't just, you know, pick up on an issue and, you know, issue a statement about it, but they would do a whole big study that would last for maybe 6 months or a year. And I believe that they still operate in the same fashion. And I certainly learned that there was a lot of value to doing that, even though you might get very...
kind of bugged them.
Even though you might get to feel very frustrated because it took a long time to come to a position on an issue while this research was going on.
But are each of these groups, this is the League in Hollywood and there's Long Beach and everywhere else, are they autonomous? Do they each do their own, or do they all have to agree, or how does that work?
as best I can remember, separate leagues, they're not really autonomous because they're part of a national organization, but they, I think they do have autonomy in deciding which issues a particular chapter wants to study. So if I remember correctly, the Los Angeles chapter got very involved in a study of the welfare system in Los Angeles County, and I don't believe that other chapters were working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they do have autonomy in deciding which subject or issue they decide to study in detail. Although they have positions nationally, and maybe, I can't remember now because I'm not a member of the league anymore, whether they have, say, national committees that study an issue and take a position for the national organization, which then maybe has to be ratified by the local chapters. I really don't know. I don't know. I can't see. And then in the 60s, certainly during the time of great ferment and anti-Vietnam War activities, I was active in Women's Strike for Peace and Another Mother for Peace, and participated actually with my daughters too in the many anti-war demonstrations that were held both in this area, and we traveled to certainly Northern California for demonstrations. And in the early 60s, I organized and facilitated a junior high age student SANE, S-A-N-E, the anti-war group, and that group included my daughters. And that was a very rewarding experience, because I basically was a facilitator. I wasn't a teacher, and the group itself decided the things that they wanted to be involved in, and they were discussions and some activities. And I don't even remember at this point how long that group lasted, but it was rewarding in the sense that these young people, with all the talk about young people not trusting anybody over 30, were willing to be part of a group in which an adult was a facilitator. And I still had some contact with a number of the young people who were in that group.
Still now?
Many years ago, yes. A number of them are people that I have some, over a continuous period of time, and some, just through serendipity, discovering that a couple of the people I met at the Committees of Correspondence founding convention.
Goodness.
And they remembered me. I didn't remember them because they looked so different 30 years later. But I guess I didn't look that different because they came over to me and said, "Aren't you Edith Paul?" So it was very funny. And then I'd like to talk briefly about my job at Bell Gardens Community Center, where I worked from 1967 to 72. Bell Gardens Community Center was actually affiliated with the Presbyterian Church in Bell Gardens. But it was truly a community center that the church sponsored, but did not try to influence what it was doing. And I was doing what I guess you would call community organizing work, rather than the kind of individual casework which I had done on previous jobs, although I did do some work with individual families around financial emergencies.
Well, was this part of the CAP program? Community area something or other? I don't even remember.
But no, it was not a government sponsored. It was totally financed through the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Bell Gardens. It was not a government program, although we had a lot of contact with the welfare department and with the many anti-poverty agencies in the area, although there weren't very many, I can tell you, in Bell Gardens, other than a legal aid chapter, which covered Bell Gardens and some other southeast community. Anyhow, my job there as a community organizer, I organized a grassroots committee for a child care center for a state-supported or a state-financed child care center. And I organized the welfare rights chapter, a welfare rights organization chapter. This was at the height of the growth of the welfare rights organization nationally, and we developed a welfare rights chapter in Bell Gardens, which was a very poor community. That welfare rights chapter got to be the largest chapter in the state of California, believe it or not. It didn't last all that long, but it drew a lot of people. I just would like to say that my experience in Bell Gardens also was a big eye-opener for me, because the majority of people during that period, the late 60s and early 70s, were poor white people who had come from Arkansas and Oklahoma and other parts of the South and who had migrated there and who had settled. Much as other groups go, they go where some people have gone and settled before, they gravitate to that. And one of the things that I learned was I learned a lot about the psychology of poor white people from my experience there.
Is it different from the psychology of poor black or brown people?
Well, actually, I found that it was very similar, but and what I think was very interesting to me was to see I mean, I'm not sure that I could say that I know that much about the psychology of poor black and brown people to make that comparison. So, I mean, I know a little bit, but I know that in Bell Gardens, one of the things that impressed me no end was seeing how many of these families who were on welfare, many of them either two parents, but many single parent families, single mother headed families, who were on welfare, and when somebody would come from their area where they had come from and came into Bell Gardens, they would take them into their house They would share what they had, even though it often resulted in possibly some sanctions from the welfare department, and that their sense of I don't know what you call
community?
It, the community solidarity with these people, and their strong sense of these people, you know, of caring about these people, simply overrode the concerns that they might have about violating the rules of the welfare department, where whatever they give you is not supposed to be shared with somebody else. So, and I also, during that time, we organized a community coalition of agencies in the community around welfare issues, which is different than the welfare rights organization chapter and the child care center chapter. During that time, I guess there weren't that many agencies or organizations that were doing community organizing. So we got to be placement for both undergraduate social work students from Cal State Long Beach and graduate students from the USC School, Graduate School of Social Work. So I had an experience in, I was the one with a degree working there with a social work degree, and so I became the one who supervised those students. And that was also a very, it was a very rewarding experience. Very difficult, but also very rewarding. And one of the students, one of the undergraduate students from Cal State Long Beach, whom I supervise, she and I have maintained a friendship the last, 25 years since that time. So it was also, I think, one other thing that I gleaned from that experience is that many of the values that were part of my upbringing and my, you know, my main my main way of operating were shared by people in the some people, let's put it that way, in who were part of the religious community. And it gave me, I think for the first time in my life, an insight into what moved some people who were very religious and who were among the most committed people that I had ever run across in terms of their activity and their devotion to causes that we both shared in common. So it was a very, you know, it was an interesting experience for me, who had really never had very much to do with, you know, people in the religious community. In the early 70s, I helped organize a Los Angeles child care coalition working for national child care legislation. And this was during Nixon's presidency.
You were not.
Yes. Well, we were fighting, and there was actually, it was not affiliated with anything national, but it was definitely part of a national movement for national legislation that would provide funding for child care for actually all women. We were not looking to make it exclusively for working working parents. So again, it was a very, it was a very broadening experience for me to be involved with both parents who were interested in childcare and with childcare professionals, mm-hmm. people who were involved in providing childcare, and the union that was involved, but also the professional association. And we did a lot of demonstrating and educating in the community. We testified at hearings on bills. I think there was even a bill introduced in Congress around child care legislation, which didn't get passed. But again, it was a very, broadening for me experience in terms of my of the issues that I've been involved in. Also, during the early 70s, I was living in Long Beach already. We moved to Long Beach the end of 1967, because my husband had a heart attack, and we had been living in Mar Vista, and he was traveling on the freeways for over an hour each day to go to work at Cal State Long Beach, where he was teaching education. And the doctor said, why are you traveling all this long distance and, making your life so hard? So anyhow, we moved to Long Beach. And I was active in the Long Beach chapter of the National Association of Social Workers, Legislative and Peace Committees. And we had a very active committee for this little community of Long Beach that worked on legislative and peace issues. And in the early and mid-70s, during the height of the organizing of the United Farm Workers, organizing of lettuce and grape workers, I was very involved with the community support group in Long Beach of the boycott, the community support group of the boycott.
Who formed that? How was that formed?
Pardon me?
Never heard of it. How was it formed?
Oh yes, it is. There were the United Farm Workers Union, which yes. was organizing, sent young people to cities all over the country
really?
To develop the boycott, the grape boycott and the lettuce boycott. And were paying, what did they pay them? They paid them $5 a week. And these were some of these people later became organizers with the farm workers, and went on to become organizers in other union movements or other kinds of social action. They, and again, I remained friends with one of the main organizer in Long Beach, a young man who went on to go to school and become an optometrist.
Oh my.
Yeah. So again, it was a very, very exciting time. My daughters were also very much involved with the boycott,
mm-hmm.
and we participated in many of the demonstrations at stores to get stores not mm-hmm. to buy the grapes, mm-hmm. and we participated in the big march to Delano.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was, it was a time of great activity with the tactic of involving the communities in the boycott as a way of putting pressure on the growers to try to sign contracts with the union. In the early 70s, the organization in Long Beach, which is basically a civic organization concerned with issues of concern to people in the city of Long Beach, an organization called Long Beach Area Citizens Involved was formed, and I was one of the founding members and was, what shall I say, intermittently active.
Well, what caused the formation of this particular group? Who were you
Well, I was not, let me put it this way, I was one of the people. I was not the, what's the word?